That was very self-controlled of you. You very quickly lost it and got it back under control. How'd you do
and
that?
And then you fucked it.
Okay, thanks.
Episode 8.
Welcome to Lug Radio.
Welcome to Lug Radio.
We're back, we're bad, and all that.
Yeah. Bald.
Back, bad and bald.
Yeah,
what a combination.
That's yep.
What you need.
You need to battle this. What do you want to talk about today?
Beards.
Beards.
Let's talk about beards and waterfowl.
Let's talk about beards and why Ack looks like he's a member of the Amish.
I do not look like a member of the army. I cocked up the beard slightly. No, we're not going to talk about the army.
ShavingAccidents.com / get involved.
ShavingAccidents.com.
Send your pictures to show at Love Radio.
Unless you're too busy sending your picture to baldassholes.com.
You have got a bald chin with hair underneath it.
Shut up.
Amish.
Shut up about my bald chin.
This is the first episode since the slash dotting that we had with the last episode.
We were slash dotted, man.
We were slash dotted.
It was only the second page.
When the mighty Mark Shuttleworth was interviewed. I think we should introduce ourselves to people who are new to the show. Because,
yeah, well, yeah, we haven't done it for a while, actually.
So who are you, Ginger Man, with crap beers?
I'm Ack.
You're Ack.
That's right.
Who are you?
I'm the fabulously bald Aid.
I'm John O'Bacon, and we've unfortunately got no Master Ravel today. Matt Ravel is not here tonight because he's busy.
The fourth and smallest member of our quartet. We thought maybe he was here and just hiding underneath something, but he's actually not here.
I thought he'd shrunk so small that we couldn't see him anymore.
It's just, yeah, I mean, he's just, I felt an itchy foot earlier on. I thought it was just Matt trying to climb up my socks.
I thought he might have fallen through a crack in the floorboards, but he's actually genuinely not here because we turned on the Matt detector. And it is, listen, I'm going to turn on the Matt detector. No sound at all. You see, he's not here.
No, you hear angriness when they're when it's been successful. So, yeah, what should we talk about today, then?
We talk about Sun.
Sun and patents.
An opening
patent. The copycat bastards.
Well,
oh,
possibly.
By the way, the show might contain swearing.
Yes. Oh, yeah, the show might contain swearing.
And we don't fucking care.
Yeah, fuck off.
let's talk about maybe the Sun and Java.
And a fucking national fucking lottery, well,
yes,
I want to talk
yeah,
about,
they
because
definitely
there's
need to talk
the
about
fucking
that.
National fucking lottery and they're
it's
arseholes.
It's not just them, to be fair, though, is it? I mean, there are a lot of...
Well, yeah, but they're... Yeah,
Power Gen.
They're the biggest arseholes. Well, yeah, Power Gen. We made Power Gen fix it. Sorry. We made Power Gen fix themselves.
Well, he said.
Tried with the national lottery, it didn't work, and you'll find out how later.
It hasn't worked yet.
Yeah, these things take time.
And I do believe, who else should we talk to?
Let's talk to someone.
It's been quite web-orientated, this one, because we talked about the rel tag and...
Yep.
We will talk about the rel tag, yep.
Hey, why are you saying that? You're saying this as if we're recording the beginning at the end.
Stop it, I'm confused.
So, yes.
You bald pennies.
So we will talk about the rel tag, won't we, A?
Future tense.
Bald.
Not end.
I'm too bald for my shirt.
My God, it's right said Fred, isn't it?
Yes, so, in every way, actually.
So bald it hurts.
Women do throw their pants
at them.
So, yeah, let's talk to someone. Let's talk to a man.
Yep.
To a woman.
Yeah, well...
An Australian man,
Australian.
I think.
Can you guess who it's going to be?
Does he wear
Australian?
A hat with corks on?
He possibly does.
Does he walk upside down?
Does he throw shrimps on the barbie?
Does he know Alf from Home Alone?
All these questions.
Does he drink Fosters?
Will be answered later, ladies and gentlemen.
Is he a great galah? You know, these are the things you want to know.
Let's rock on.
So, I'm sat here, surrounded by python freaks.
Yeah. Yes.
You bastards.
We love
and,
python.
John, I believe you've been doing a bit of coding recently.
I have done. It's been quite interesting, actually, because, I resisted Python for some considerable time.
Is this due to your immense laziness?
No, it's not. I mean, I never really had a need for Python because I did everything in need.
Well, it's because there's C++, isn't it?
C++, I know. And,
piss off! He's doing this to annoy me now.
But why learn another language and you already know C++?
Well, that's it. I mean, I
know why it is. It's so that you can use spaces as delimiting, isn't it, yeah?
I got a reason why.
So wrong,
it's because C++ is shit, that's why.
That's right! you love
braces.
Python.
Curly braces and semicolons, that's what you should use.
No, it's...
Other language.
The thing is, I don't know, leave the base alone, you dirty bastard. I don't know why you'd learn to do anything kind of small, and the kind of stuff I want to do is small programs. I don't want to write OpenOffice. Excuse me, listeners.
You're still ill, aren't you, basically?
I am, yes. And to do small kind of stuff, why do I need to learn C++ when I can do it in...
Well, you don't need to learn it because you already know it, you see.
I know.
But why would you want to use it when you can develop exactly the same program 10 times as fast?
And then you haven't got to go and learn another language.
Yeah, but he went in a week from not knowing anything about it to writing real programs in it. So you've only got to give up a week.
I can't believe that I've been talked to... I can't believe that you bastards have talked me into learning Python.
Yes. We have.
I thought it was a master plan of mine to say, I'll learn Python when you two install Fedora Core.
I was going to say.
You both went, all right then.
All right then, yeah, you see. So now at some point we're going to install Fedora Core. I mean, yeah. It's going to be toss.
Even we agree that installing Fedora Core is a lot easier than learning Python, I think.
Actually, you're saying that it probably is.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have said so.
Fedora Core will just slip onto your machine, mate.
Nah, I'm not convinced about Fedora
at
all.
It's a piece of cake, mate.
Well, I'm sure we can slip you a Python if you if you're interested in that.
Sure, I wouldn't even notice.
So Fedora, Python, and Ubuntu Python.
So what have you been writing in Python then?
I've written a little program called Gnome iRiver. An iRiver for small people. Sorry, Matt.
And it's
incidentally, Matt's just got an iRiver, so he's got a gnome's iRiver.
He's got leprechaun music in it.
Only stuff on Saw Doctors.
It's basically a little... There's a database in the iRiver that you need to generate, and there's a little command line tool to do that.
Does it... What's it with the ID3 tags or something?
Yeah. It basically uses those to generate its own database. Otherwise, it's a little slower accessing tracks, and it doesn't... You can't search them as easily.
So it will compute them on the fly if it needs to, but if you build the database first, then it all works a lot
faster.
It's
weird, because if you just dump the files on there, then it's like it's a bit like accessing your MP3s in a bit like a file structure, like a file directory.
So I'm used to that, so I use the Archos.
Whereas with the
MP3 player in my car, the same. It's just an IDE hard drive. Mm-hmm. So I take out, slot into a removable hard drive cage.
Whereas when you generate the database, this whole new functionality comes out where you can search things by artist and you can search things by genre and everything.
So you're saying to create the database, you've probably got some Windows program on a CD or something.
So normally to create it, you have a Windows program on a CD. This guy wrote a thing called iRipDB, which is a command line thing which basically does it. It's a tiny little C program that does it. But there was no GUI front end to it, so I needed to learn how.
So you wrote the GUI front end?
So I've written the GUI
not
front
the
end.
Whole thing.
No. I mean, basically, what my program does is it detects if an iRiver is plugged in.
By using
DBus wonderful. And HAL.
Yeah.
Which is great. So I had to learn that, in which there's very little documentation. And then there's also, I also had to learn Python, obviously. And I had to learn GTK, and I had to learn Gnome.
Well, you didn't have to learn Python, you could have done it in C.
No, I couldn't. You see, that's the difference. I couldn't have written this in C.
Yes, you
honestly,
could.
I couldn't.
Yes, you could.
I honestly don't believe I could have written this
in
C.
If you were a real man.
I'm not a proper C++ programmer, though.
I'm just messing.
I'm a pretty shit C++ programmer. Whereas a shit Python programmer can actually do stuff. So, yeah, there's the difference. But,
So I have to learn Python there.
You do.
Yes, you guys get to enjoy the wonderful Fedora.
Yeah,
apparently. With this little red icon in the top that says, you need updates. None of that in Ubuntu, is there?
There is.
No, there isn't.
There is. There's the Ubuntu.
I ran Ubuntu for 3 months and there's no flashing icon saying you need updates.
Well, not in Warty. There's one in Hori.
I'll tell you who we need to ask about it.
Who do you need to ask?
Jeff War.
War! A good God! What is it good for? Absolutely
nothing!
Say it again, boy!
Jeff War!
Good morning, Wig Radio. First time listener, long time. Oh, I stuffed it up. I knew that would happen.
Do you want us to ring you back, Jeff?
No, don't do that.
We'll love that.
That was nice, that was cool. It was great to have like a very sort of positive reaction, you know.
Plus, I'll be honest with you, fucking it up is the Lug Radio spirit, it really is.
Nice one. So, Jeff, thanks for taking the time to sort of get involved with us in this episode. we wanted to just talk to you about a few different things, like obviously there's GNOME and there's Ubuntu and everything. I think the first thing I wanted to ask you was, in terms of Ubuntu and Debian, the Debian project has traditionally moved along relatively slowly. And the Ubuntu project seems to be shooting off really fast. Probably the worst words to use there. How are you going to be able to track changes in Ubuntu and still hook in with Debian as
the gap grows wider?
Yeah, as you speed up more and more.
Well, one of the first things that we
decided that we would do is, instead of some of the other Debian derivative distributions essentially forking off Debian and going off and playing in their own wonderland and then, you know, having to figure out further down the track what they were going to do. Sure. We were going to very explicitly branch from the Debian development tree, being SID, and make our own changes and then synchronize up with SID very regularly. And that just fits in perfectly with our release schedule because what it means is that whenever we do a final release, we sync up with SID immediately after that. So all of the rapid development that goes on in Debian, because it's kind of funny, Debian has two different sides. There's the there's a very relaxed release process of the stable for releases in Debian, and then there's the frenetic pace of SID. Which is what we've decided to base on because we really want to be at the bleeding edge of the open source world.
That's what we want.
And, so by syncing up with SID and sending our patches back regularly, and essentially all of our patches go back when we make them. So often enough, we end up syncing with SID and then dumping a bunch of our patches and going on.
So I was just saying to the boys that one of the things that Ubuntu needs is like a Red Hat icon. So when your updates are behind, it actually flashes and comes up and says you need updates. But the boys just told me that it's Hori's now got that.
You know, like half the stuff that people suggest to me about Wadi, you know, they try it, they put the CD in, they install it on their machines, and they play for a few weeks, and they come back and they have a list of, you know, oh man, it would be really cool if you did this. half the time, I'm able to say, yep, done it.
Yeah, we have actually noticed that.
One of the big advantages of the Hori release process is that we're not building the company, we're not building the distro team. And we have a huge community of people who are getting involved. When Wadi was being developed, we didn't actually have a real 6-month release process. We actually built the company from March to September when the preview came out.
Right.
And we were hiring all the people and bringing people on and all that sort of stuff. So it's a very different release process this time around.
It has moved at a phenomenal pace.
Heaps of people working on it all the time.
It does seem to shift along at a fair pace, and you've got a good bunch of people involved. I mean, obviously, we spoke to Mark in the last episode, which was affectionately nicknamed the Testicle of Insanity.
Not that he's the Testicle of Insanity.
He's not the Testicle of Insanity. But, I mean, how do you find that the process works between, you know, how do you get on from a technical side with other people in the team? I mean, obviously, there's people like Colin Watson and people such as that. My impression, sort of being an outsider in the Ubuntu community, as someone who just sort of mentions bug reports, is that there's a pretty natural cohesion between different people in the project. Do you find that there's any friction, or do you find that it's fairly plain sailing?
It's pretty much plain sailing. I think the great thing about all of the people involved is that we all have this mutual respect for each other that goes back years anyway. Most of the people who are involved have either been involved in Debian or sort of peripherally involved in Debian for a long time. So we all kind of know who each other are. We know that we're all very clever and intelligent people.
Well, obviously, yeah.
I mean, quite seriously, in terms of technical skills on the distro team, I'm the dunce of the group, and there's all these wonderful, clever people that I get to work with. So it's awesome. I have to admit, my other hat within the company is business development, so you can see kind of where the problem lies.
Fair enough.
Something I wanted to ask about, Jeff, if you could remove your Ubuntu hat and place on your GNOME hat for a moment. I think it was Seth Nickel, but it might not have been, said recently that GNOME, the focus on usability and everything is very important, but there might be a bit too much of it, and there's not enough advanced cool stuff going on anymore. Do you think that's the case?
Yeah, that was Seth's article in GNOME Journal recently. I think most of the core GNOME developers would absolutely agree that what's happened is that we've and the way that Nat explained this at his keynote during Guadec was that the pendulum has swung slightly too far.
Yeah.
During the GNOME 1 sort of period, it was all complete insanity and
absolute
crazy
frantic
shit going on.
That's an understatement.
All the kind of stuff that we did back then was just insane. and you know, with 2.0, there was this major change, and it was a massive, significant change in just awareness and process and stuff like that within GNOME, and everyone was interested in, you know, making things stable. So we have, like, you know, the API and ABI consistency with GNOME 2.0 and stuff like that, and all of the usability work, and
yeah,
you know, attempting to be sanity and avoiding the crack smoking. Just like
there's a lot of
So basically, what we have is a serious lack of drugs within the GNOME project.
You know, we
you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
It's weird, because when we did a special episode of Lug Radio when we were down at the Expo in London, and we spoke to Paul Sladen from the Debian Project, who told us there and then that the Debian Project liked to sell drugs to people.
Yeah,
and smoke as many drugs as possible. So
he was very insistent the Debian Project have loads of crack. So since you're probably the best bridge in between the two projects, clearly you have a second career ahead.
Oh, awesome. Oh, great.
Let's all get high. So, Jeff, I wanted to ask you something as well about GNOME. I used to be involved with the KDE project, and part of the reason why I left the KDE project was because of the amount of crap going on.
But you know what, dude? Every time I read articles by you on, like, anything, your byline says, you know, KDE core developer.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately,
such a lie.
These haven't changed much yet. You know, I mean, this all needs to be changed, to be honest. In the same way that in one of the magazines I write for, I've still got long hair. And they've not changed the picture.
And we can definitely tell you that's not true.
That's my mental image of you is just destroyed.
That's pretty good then, to be honest. So,
but I'll answer your questions anyway.
Yeah, well, the thing I was going to ask was, in terms of, I mean, in many ways, GNOME was playing catch-up to KDE, because obviously it was a project that started later on, and the GNOME project spent time refining things such as GTK instead of relying on a commercial toolkit. And I thought GNOME's really good because there's a real focus on usability. But my concern was that it's going to get to a point with GNOME where everything's pretty much been written, and then usability starts to fall out the window in the same way that it's happened with KDE. Do you think that usability is always going to be a very heavily focused point in GNOME? Or do you think it could potentially turn into the quagmire that is some of the KDE-related usability problems?
No, you know, I mean, this people sort of ask this fairly regularly, because there was sort of a point within KDE development that you could see that, you know, suddenly it became baroque. You know, so much stuff was being added that,
yeah,
you know, it was over the top. But
totally.
I think, so in terms of usability and the attentiveness that the GNOME developers have to all of that sort of stuff now, the genie is well out of the bottle, and I don't think that that's going to change.
Right.
We've had lots of new features being added between, you know, 2.6 and 2.10, and, you know, the major things that people are concerned about is, you know, are we going over the top? Do we really need this?
Right. You know, yeah.
Sort of thing. I can't see. I mean, you know, the core development team may change dramatically within the next couple of years, and perhaps that would cause that to happen, but I really can't. Most of the people who are attracted to GNOME development have already realized that, you know, this usability thing is actually important.
That's great news.
That is kind of reassuring news, it must be admitted. You mentioned GNOME 2.10 there, which looks very exciting according to David's sneak peek. But which is a brilliant title for it. But what's beyond 2.10? I mean, are we likely to see a 3.0 release, or, you know, with some radical changes in it? Or, I mean, I've seen very little that implies what's happening in 2.12.
Well, so there's been this idea of what 3.0 would be for a long time, and it's basically the compatibility break release. That's really the only thing that anyone's ever sort of committed to the idea of 3.0. Because our developer platform it has been committed to API and ABI stability throughout the 2.x series.
Yeah.
It kind of limits how much we can change and how much we can, you know, grow the platform and fix old mistakes and stuff like that.
Mm.
So the first sort of principle of what GNOME 3.0 would be is we deprecate all of the crap that we don't want anymore from 2.x and move on again.
So, Bernie, are there lots of plans afoot which we can't do because of API and ABI stability, or are you just going to break stuff just because it's time?
Well, see, this has been worrying me too. So I created a page on the GNOME wiki a little while ago, 3.0, and pasted in an email from Havik Pennington that he posted a while back. And his perspective was that if we're thinking about 3.0, we shouldn't just think about platform deprecation, trashing, and all that sort of stuff. We should think about all of the kind of interface things that we keep similar. So one of the things is the whole WIMP kind of thing that we've got with GNOME and and what's the next thing beyond that, and having different top level objects. Like one of the things that you've probably seen with like Evolution Data Server Galago and some of the other bits and pieces that are coming into the GNOME universe is that people are becoming top level objects.
Yes.
For contacts and presence and those sorts of things. And people are so much more important than Windows.
What we want to
have. is that Windows with a capital W?
Every day I deal with people with email and instant messaging and all that kind of stuff. So if you have a look at the 3.0 page on the GNOME wiki, there's a lot of ideas as to what 3.0 should be and how we can get there from 2.x without stopping development and spending 2 years doing completely crazy stuff.
It seems quite interesting because, I mean, when you read something such as Planet GNOME, you see people having discussions about more intuitive ways to locate things such as IM contacts and things such as that. And
I think that's where the future is, to be honest.
And that's, the thing is it seems like there's a lot more innovation going on with GNOME than the alternative desktops. And that doesn't just, that's not just KDE, but other corporate systems as well. So, credit where credit's due. I think Aid wants to ask a particularly important question, don't you, Aid?
Yeah, definitely. Bearing in mind that we're about 6 months behind in the UK, could you just bring us up to date with Neighbours and Home and Away?
This is really important.
It's important to me.
And Home and Away and McLeod's Daughters and stuff like that, they're just like Foster's beer. We don't
you guys all drink that, right?
Them here. We just send them over there and laugh at you guys. Yeah.
Damn you.
Never suspected that was the truth.
What, so you've not got corks on your hat or anything? I'm really disappointed now. Mental image destroyed again.
But you do put shrimps on the barbie, right?
Well, actually, yesterday was, I'm recovering a little bit from a hangover today, because yesterday was Australia Day, where we celebrate the first invasion of backpackers. and also we drink the Australian beer, which is not Foster's, it's Cooper's.
Is it 4X?
So if you want a great Australian beer,
right. Tui's.
The invasion of the backpackers.
Yeah, Tui's actually, yeah. Tui's is the best.
Tui's?
Yeah.
What the hell is Tui's?
Nice, actually.
Oh, fair enough. You outbid me on my Australian knowledge, to be honest. But Jeff, something we're interested in doing in the future with Lug Radio is just having, ringing people such as yourself up and having a quick 5-minute update on what you're up to. A bit like, like people are doing podcasts and things like that. We thought it might be interesting to ring people up and find out just briefly what they're doing. And would you be interested in keeping in touch with the Lug Radio fan base?
Yeah, sure, that'd be great.
That's what we like.
Superb.
It's been cool. Brilliant talking to you,
lovely talking to you, Jeff.
We really appreciate it.
Cool, thanks, guys.
Bye, Jeff. Thanks much indeed. So, Microsystems.
Yes.
They just gave a load of shit away, didn't they?
They have. It's weird. They've
it's
open-sourced.
It's an amazing sense of deja vu I'm getting.
Yeah, they've opened loads of patents.
Yes.
I know someone else did that recently.
Yes.
Ibm.
Ibm.
Ibm did it.
But why?
I know.
Do you actually know?
I do. No, think about what happened recently.
I can see his head sort of just throbbing.
Think about what happened recently, right?
Yeah,
Christmas.
Okay.
Yes!
Christmas.
It's Christmas.
It's not Christmas.
It's because it was Christmas.
No, it isn't.
I'm sure of it.
I think it might be,
What I don't get, I mean, we talked about the IBM thing, yeah? and why IBM did it, and we said they must have had a real business reason. We're just not really sure what it is.
Suggesting it was Christmas,
but Sun have done it now, and they've opened loads more than IBM did.
I mean, in the next show, are we talking to Microsoft
about opening all of their patents and releasing Windows as
Longhorn,
open source?
Open Longhorn, maybe?
Yeah, open Avalon.
Open Longhorn. I think that's never going to happen, to be honest.
Imagine if it did, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Okay, I'm imagining it.
It's interesting, though. I mean, why they're doing this? I mean...
You know, OpenSolaris.org is now actually there.
Yep,
it is.
Solaris is there, which is cool.
So what do we think of Solaris, by the way? I think it's quite a cool operating system.
I'll be honest with you, I haven't used Solaris for 10 years. Hmm. I might give it a shot, but I'm not sure what it would give me particularly.
Well, 64-bit for the, years, isn't it?
Yeah, but I've only 64-bit machines.
That's because you cack.
Well, possibly.
That's because you cack.
But on the other hand, there you go. I'm not going to pony up for an Alpha or an Itanium machine or something
like
that.
Not a major benefit, really, is it?
You won't even buy a beer, let a fucking lay an Alpha.
I mean, I could switch to Solaris, but I'd essentially be running the same thing I'm running at the moment. You know, I'd have a Unix. I'd have a Unix desktop with GNOME on the top of it. So I could switch, but I'm not sure what the point is.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what it would give me that Ubuntu doesn't, or that Fedora Core doesn't, if that's your bag.
Yeah,
but then again,
it is my bag.
Then again, I mean, the same argument could be used for Fedora over Ubuntu, or whatever.
The thing is, though, is, I mean, things like Project Utopia and things like that, are they available on Solaris? I mean, is it easy to deal with things like devices in a desktop setting? I always thought of Solaris as more of a server-based
You could write
system.
Solaris iRiver. In Python.
Not without HAL, though. And HAL requires UDEV, and UDEV requires a SysFS-enabled kernel, and SysFS is Linux.
Fuck Solaris.
Well, that was kind of my thought. I mean, I can see why in a big enterprise environment where, you know, you've got a huge, great big server running thing, you're not going to walk up to it and plug a digital camera in.
It is interesting why they've just suddenly released so many projects as open source.
But they haven't really released that.
What do you mean, sorry? They released Solaris.
Solaris and that there's something else recently. You know the mystery thing that we talked about in the last episode?
The mystery machine?
The magical mystery machine.
I saw a van driving down the road and it was actually painted like the mystery machine.
Really?
It was cool. Awesome.
My God. That's pretty impressive. What, in the Midlands?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Did Daphne get out of it?
No. Fucking Velma got out of it.
Velma could be quite fit some days.
Yeah.
No.
And she had the whole intelligent vibe going on.
Smashed her face in with a brick.
Yeah, fit if you think Axe fit.
Oh,
you can see the similarity actually between the two of you.
Fuck you, and all points north.
Does that make me Velma then?
Oh,
no, you're Fred.
Yeah, you are Fred.
You're Fred Flintstone.
Fucking
who's Matt?
Fucking
Scrappy Doo.
Sorry, get him, Uncle Scoob. Puppy power.
Anyway,
right, yeah. So they opened Solaris.
Yeah,
and then there's the big mystery thing, which it appears might be Java.
Yes.
Oh, no way, that would be amazing.
Well, you see, the thing which puzzled me is I haven't actually read the Sun press release. But I've read things about the Sun press release. Mm-hmm. And what it says they're open sourcing, or thinking of open sourcing, under their new CCCCCCCCCCCCCCCL license.
Quite scared.
Which has been approved by the Open Source Initiative and all that. The thing they're thinking of open sourcing is the Java Enterprise System. But I don't know whether that's Java or not.
Yeah.
Because there's so many things that it's called the Java something. And if we just get like the
code... Is that J2EE?
Well, I don't know.
EE.
Stop doing that.
I mean, it might be, you know, some stuff. It might not actually be Java itself.
It'd be awesome if they open source Java.
It would be.
But it's all right, so long as... I mean, I quite like the idea of, you know, the open source equivalents of Java. Because there's lots of work going into, for example, GCJ or whatever it is.
It's wasted work.
Yeah.
It is. You could get those guys who are working really hard to do that and make them do something more productive.
But the thing is that...
Because we're always playing catch-up if we're trying to clone a closed-source product.
Yeah.
But that's like saying we're always playing catch-up because we want to release OpenOffice, because essentially most people are using Microsoft Office.
No, the point is not because...
I know what you mean in terms of essentially replicating a product already.
Yeah.
But I think the thing is, though, is that while so many people rely on Java, it's good work. And if you can help people to move away from a proprietary Java platform...
Yeah, but I think we should help people to move away from a proprietary Java platform by making the proprietary Java platform non-proprietary.
That's not
by copying it.
As we've discussed many a time, this is where me and Axe slightly differ. Axe more of a bit more of an idealist in this regard.
Yeah.
Is that another word for saying he's a rampant zealot?
I mean, my reason for saying that we should get Sun to open source Java is that, not wishing to decry the work that the ClassPath guys have done, done and GCJ have done and the CAFI people have done and so on, but how long ago did Java come out? 97? And we still don't have a working VM. And a working set of
lines.
I mean, I'm not having a pop at what they do. They've obviously worked really hard on what they've got, but we still do not have a even reasonably compliant open source Java implementation.
You know what? We should get one of the guys from the GCJ or the ClassPath on the show.
See, GCJ is a different thing, really, because for GCJ you don't need to think about bytecode. You don't need to think about the VM. All you can do is just compile it to native code.
But we should get one of these guys on the phone, because I'd be interested to find out whether re-implementing a Java environment, I'd be interested to see how different that is to, for example, re-implementing, like, for creating Mono or something like that. I mean, is it going to be drastically different? Is there a reason why it's taken so long? Or is it just because there's not been enough hands on deck, you know? I mean,
yeah. I mean, I think it's a hands on deck issue.
Right.
But I'm not... What was that?
Fucking hell, someone's put some money in a tip jar.
Hey, oh, who was that?
Now, I'm going to get the name right. It's Bruno.
Bruno!
Well, I don't think it's polite to actually say how much, but quite a considerable amount.
No, it's polite.
Is it?
Yes.
No, shut up. Make it up. Say it's low tire.
600 quid.
Well, Bruno, nice.
600 quid, that's the suggested contribution.
And he's sitting there thinking, geez, I didn't think the exchange rate was that much money.
Bruno, you're the first man, and hopefully not the last.
It says a lot, you know, because when we started Lug Radio, we figured it was, you know, four guys talking shit down a microphone.
And no
one would ever want to pay for that. So let's just do it for free.
Maybe
and
he's paying us to shut up. To shut the fuck up.
That's the theory. That's not French, is
it?
Are you British bastards? Will you give me Ed?
Do please. If he's
would you like to give me Ed for 30 quid?
If he's paying that and he's betting to get three guys, then they're a lot cheaper in Marseille than they are in the West Midlands.
So, I tell you what, though, I mean, we're huddled around one mic stand, you and I, Ack.
Yep.
I'm thinking...
I've got the executive stand.
Yeah. You do have the executive stand. You have your own mic
You're
stand.
A leper. You actually are, though, aren't you? You're infected.
I am well infected at the moment, I'm afraid. But Bruno's made me feel better.
Yeah. We're all enormously grateful, Bruno.
And amazed.
And in recognition of that, we decided to call you by your proper name for once this time.
Not Bernard.
not Bernardo.
No, it's great stuff. And, you know, other people listening to the show, feel free to give us your contributions. And your children.
Don't feel
and
obliged. Don't.
Yeah, don't feel obliged. Do it now. Give us your money.
I thought they discredited subliminal advertising. That wasn't even remotely subliminal anyway.
No, maybe I should know something when I edit this.
Yeah, no.
Buy more Coke. We should actually later on in the show, when we've printed them out, we should read some emails from some
people. Yeah,
we've had quite a few emails to show@lugradio.org.
That's show@lugradio.org.
We've had quite a few, actually. Yeah.
We have.
So, thank you very much, Bruno.
Thank you very much, Bruno.
You're the man. I don't know about you guys, but one of the things, when you're browsing the old interweb, right, one of the
Stop
things...
Stop calling it interweb! It's only doing it to annoy me now.
Yes. So, one of the things that annoys me about browsing the interweb is that web servers try and detect your browser, and it's really annoying. To this end, sorry about the clap, to this end, I believe, Ack, you wrote to the National Lottery.
I did.
So,
what was the problem with the National Lottery?
Well, in the email I'll explain, which I'll now read to you.
Okay, Ack, read out your email.
From me to the National Lottery, help@nationallottery.co.uk. I've just tried to access the My Account section of the National Lottery website and was presented with the following message. Incompatible web browser. To allow us to give you secure access to this section of the National Lottery website, you must use a PC or Mac running one of the following web browsers. Internet Explorer 5.01 SP2, 5.2, 5.5 SP2 and 6, Netscape 7 or AOL 7 and above. You can download the latest version of Internet Explorer from Microsoft here. Bastards. He didn't say that in the mail.
Bastards.
So I then go on to say, I'm using a PC running Microsoft Windows. I was at work when I did this. I wasn't even at home. I was at work.
Are you sure it's not your home machine?
No, convinced. Right. I was at home, so I was running Windows. So I'm using a PC running Microsoft Windows, and my web browser is Mozilla Firefox 1.0. Netscape 7 is based on an earlier release of Mozilla. Any website which works in Netscape 7 will also work in Mozilla Firefox, and therefore I believe this message to be unreasonable.
To which I believe the National Lottery came back with...
Dear Mr. Langridge, thank you for contacting the Interactive Customer Care Team. At present, our online games facility does not support your computer's installed software. We do, however, update our systems on a regular basis, therefore your system may be supported at a later date. You should have either Internet Explorer version 5.01 SP2, 5.5 SP2, or 6, Netscape version 7 or 7.1, or AOL version 7, 8, or 9. To play Instant Win games, you should also have the Macromedia Flash version 6 plugin, or higher installed. You should also have an internet connection of 56K, or better, for optimal performance. Both the website and Flash games should work on PC.
Now, I should imagine that you weren't entirely happy with that reply.
Well, I looked at that and I thought that's quite clearly a cut and pasted form response.
Really? Yep. So I never thought of that.
So I thought, okay, maybe it's just that, you know, they blow everybody off.
You haven't got through to a human
from
yet.
From the first
mail.
I haven't got through to a real person. It's just auto-detected my browser didn't work in my email and chumped that load.
Nicely overacted, by the way, Mr. Baker.
It's
a pleasure.
So, my rebuttal went as follows.
You're all a bunch of bastards.
I've heard things about evangelism and all that, and I've learned that if you just like call people a bunch of pinheaded shit bricks, then they don't listen to you. So
I was very impressed with
your. I'll be reasoned and I'll be calm and everything like that. So
good on you.
National Lottery.co.uk from me. To underline this point again, Mozilla Firefox and Netscape 7 and 7.1 are the same web browser. Netscape used the Mozilla browser and rebranded it to give the Netscape name, but they are the same thing beneath the skin. By definition, any website which supports Netscape 7 must also support Firefox because they are the same program.
Now, obviously...
This explains why it is senseless to claim that your site supports Netscape 7 while denying access to visitors with Mozilla Firefox, as I outlined in my initial email. Regards, Stuart Langridge, blah, blah, blah.
Which is really quite controlled for you. Which I thought was very good.
I thought so. Apart from the fact that I said they're the same browser 4 times in one email.
Well,
I thought maybe they don't know it. Maybe they're not getting it. Maybe they'll go to their development team and go, this bloke says it's the same browser, at which point the dev team will go, good lord, so they are, we better not block it then.
So did you get a reply from them by any chance?
I did get a reply.
How did that go?
Dear Mr. Langridge, we are sorry to hear that you've been unhappy with the interactive service provided.
Well, at least it wasn't the same reply.
We are constantly updating the website and hope to have a number of facilities added in the near future to improve player functionality. We appreciate your feedback on this matter. However, your operating system does not currently support the Siftware you have installed in yourself on your computer. We pass all feedback on to the relevant departments who investigate the possibilities of raping each of your children. No, he doesn't say that. Who investigate the possibilities of new facilities being added to the site to improve player functionality.
So they've got to add some more software though, Ak. So you were quite happy with that.
Yeah, so
your Siftware does not support it, Ak.
Right, so I thought, right, here's the thing. I'm going to continue being reasoned.
Good for you.
Now, when I was typing this email, I did punch 3 keys right through my desk and onto the floor, but I tried to make it sound as reasonable as possible. So, my response to their response went as follows. I'm sorry to continually hammer this point home, but your website does support the software installed on my computer. If your site supports Netscape 7, then it also supports Mozilla Firefox because they are the same thing.
Did you underline
You've excluded Mozilla Firefox users, 10% of users of the web, from being able to use the My Account feature of the National Office site for no reason at all. Because Mozilla Firefox and Netscape 7 are the same thing. And you do allow Netscape 7 users through. Please can I ask you to reconsider this unfortunate blocking policy, which could prevent one user in your site of your site in every 10 from being able to use the useful, I imagine, My Account features, and not block Firefox when you don't need to. Regards, and I hope you'll die soon.
You didn't put that bit.
No, I didn't put the bit about dying, but everything else. Regards, Stuart Langridge.
So you know how there's spreadfirefox.com? Do you think there's also another one that's blockfirefox.com?
It is, it is. So anyway, their response went like this.
No response, I'm guessing.
No response. No response. They've said nothing. I've now, I think, over the course...
Do you think they're confused?
Well, over the course of three emails, I have now expressed the view that Mozilla Firefox, which I was using in Netscape 7, which they allow, are the same browser, I think something like 7 times. I'm not sure how much more obviously I can say this. More to the point, I went and downloaded the user agent switcher extension from...
If they must have.
From chrispederick.com.
Yep.
Which is very useful, and I told it I was Netscape 7... Let me through straight away.
And everything
amazingly
works,
enough,
yeah?
The site worked because Mozilla Firefox and Netscape 7
are the same fucking browser!
How are they?
Wankers! So they're wankers! And they're just...
Of the highest magnitude?
What I don't understand is there's obviously someone who had no interest whatsoever in reading my mail there. They've just been told to say, anytime anybody complains, it's because they're using the wrong browser, tell them to fuck off. I mean, I didn't even mention Linux because I wasn't using Linux because I was at work. And because I thought, if I'd gone home and used Linux, they'd have gone, oh, it's Linux, it's not supported. Yeah. But I was using Firefox 1.0, the same browser as Netscape 7, the same one, the same browser, right, on a Windows box. Because I was at work.
Incidentally, when Ack says that...
Cocks!
When Ack accuses them of being wankers and cocks, that is the views of him. So, National Lottery...
And the view of me.
When the
view of Lug Radio.
Well, no. When the National Lottery decide to sue us, right, you two, you can get your asses in court, right?
Would you think that they would... If I won the lottery, you think they'd say, oh, hang on a minute, we had an email from him not long ago.
I think they'd
let's tear Mr. Language's ticket up.
Do you think we're going to appear on the good causes list anyway?
I don't think we're going to get lottery funding, put it that way.
We should apply.
I think we should be sensible, and I think they'd toss us off air, to be honest, because they're
going to toss you off air?
Well, that as well.
They're
going to get their money from somewhere,
okay,
haven't they?
Okay, then, I won't say that they're a bunch of pin-headed arsewipes. Instead, I will say that they are unresponsive to customer demand, they are uninterested in doing things the proper way, and their helpless monkeys are assholes. Because they are.
This is ridiculous. Are they aware of the original intention of the web? The whole point of the web is so we can all look at fucking sites.
Do you think they realise they're the same browser?
No! they do not. I mean, that's the thing that annoyed me most of all. If it had been it only works for Internet Explorer, I'd have gone... Well, okay, that's a shame and it annoys me, but there's an awful lot of places like that and I'm not going to win that battle.
Yeah.
But the fact that they said, we support Netscape 7, we explicitly support it and then block Firefox, even though they're the same fucking thing!
Yeah.
That annoyed me a lot.
We really do need to, every single time this happens, email them.
Yes.
Definitely.
I was just about to say the moral of the story is don't bother.
No!
You're obviously not getting anything, but no, do bother, because the more we let people know about this, you know, and not, I mean, as much as I praise sites which report sites that don't support Firefox, they ain't going to do anything, because I think a lot of people, even in large organisations, probably aren't aware that their site isn't supported in Firefox. And people like the National Lottery, who obviously plainly don't give a shit about it, then fair enough, that's going to harm them eventually, as Firefox take-up happens. But the fact of the matter 10%
is... 10% of the web.
But, you know, I mean, you know, we'll see how it happens. But, you know, let them be ridden with comment spam.
Ah, actually, talking about comment spam, the Google Rel thing.
Yep.
I read about that.
For those of you who haven't come across this yet, if you run a weblog, you almost certainly will have done, unless it's something like a blog or weblog where what you're interested in is just posting stuff and... You know, getting people to read it. You're not interested in the
bollocks.
Technology.
Right. Aimed at me, was that?
Well, no, it was aimed at blogger people in general. I mean, live journal people can fuck off.
I'm 14 and I'm riddled with angst.
I need to read my Sylvia Plath poetry and slit my wrists again. Fuck off.
My favourite band is 9 Inch.
Dragging you back to the Google Rel tag.
Sorry. Anyway, talking about the Google Rel tag, Google and Six Apart, who make Movable Type, and the blogger people, who are actually Google these days anyway, and a few other places, got together and said, comment spam on weblogs is a real problem. And the reason people are spamming weblogs is that when you get lots of links to a particular site, then that site goes up the Google rankings.
Bumps it up, yeah.
So they're posting comments which link to porn sites or Viagra selling sites or whatever on people's weblogs, so that the Viagra site ends up high in a Google search for
what's the solution then?
So Google's proposed solution, Google and Sixpart and whatever, proposed solution was that Google will no longer follow links where the link is not just a href equals whatever, but there's also rel equals no follow in it.
Yep.
Google won't follow them anymore, so you won't get a high Google ranking. So the idea is that what weblog software manufacturers are supposed to do is change it so any link that appears in a comment gets tagged with rel equals no follow.
And then so it won't have any benefit for comment spam.
So the theory is then there won't be any point in comment spam. What do you think of this idea, Jono?
Well, I think it's a reasonably good idea because the thing is, I mean, most people give a shit about Google. So I'm thinking, well, you know, it does kind of make sense. In some ways, it's a bit bad because legitimate links are going to be thrown into the shit pit as well. So
there's always going to be some kind of workaround. There'll always exactly. work around and.
But I mean, even if this works, right? Legitimate links are gonna be a problem. I mean, it's not too much of a problem, for example, with my site because I disable all links purely for the fact for comment spam. I've had one piece of comment spam since I've been running my blog. So, and I think that's because I disable links.
It's not.
Why?
Because you've got a custom built website.
Yeah, I thought that as well. But then again,
and that's because the reason you thought that is because it's the truth.
Yeah. obviously, you know, a blogging system is going to attract pieces of software that can automatically post comment spam and things like that. But I think that there's less of an incentive for somebody to write a piece of software that would support my specific site because it doesn't support links like the. Someone posted some comment spam, and I wasn't entirely sure whether it was an automated thing or whether it was someone just actually filling in the form.
Well, you see, there's your problem, really. Spam is big business. Really, really, really big business. I mean, it's not that people do it. People send out 100 million emails about the latest place you can buy Viagra just because they want to annoy users of the internet.
Yeah.
They do it because they make fucking money at it.
Brazil and is the worst country, apparently, for following spam links and email. And Brazil.
And there are more than enough people...
Don't thanks Brazil. .info.
That you get more than enough money out of it that you can employ people to fill in comment spam. And there is nothing... you can do to distinguish a bloke filling in something that's comment spam from a bloke filling in a legitimate comment
exactly.
at comment time. You can either kill all legitimate comments in some way by either refusing links entirely or you can do it after the effect by not allowing comments to be posted until they've been approved.
So it's the end of the show, yet again.
It is.
And what we decided to do at the end of the show from now on is read out your emails, being as you've actually started emailing us.
Well, I think, to be fair, it's been as we've actually started reading the emails.
Well, it helps. Show at lugradio.org now actually works.
Yeah, exactly.
There was quite a long period there where apparently the mails went into the black hole of nothingness.
Into the ether.
We are sorry about that.
I think we can fit like two or three in.
Oh, I've heard you could fit two or three in, actually.
Do you want to fit them in simultaneously?
No, I'll go first.
No, at the same time, preferably.
I'll read this one out, because this one's actually written to Matt. Do you remember Matt talking about a piece of pasta that listens to the show?
Yes.
Well, he's actually written in. He said,
yeah.
He said, thanks for giving me a name check in your latest episode. I guess your audience is wider than you thought, not just hackers.
Our audience is really fat. Cheers.
Yeah, they're not just hackers, they are fat hackers. Well, welcome to all you fat hackers from the Lug Radio team.
Shush. He said he enjoyed the show yet again, especially to hear Mark Shuttleworth.
Yay! Yay! Mark was the man, yes.
Now, how about a newbie special, he's asking us.
Yeah, that's newbie that's special.
Yeah, we'll think about that one.
Do you have to be patronising?
Absolutely,
yeah. Do you have to be more patronising?
This is a command line.
He mentions a newbie special for the Linux virgins out there. Pastor's allowed to say virgin?
I think so. Yeah. Well, he did.
As in Virgin Mary, I suppose.
The Linux virgins. There's lots of Linux virgins, I'm guessing.
Linux Virgin Mary.
And anyway,
you did Linux sex appeal. Let's steer this
back on track.
Apart from for the Lug Radio crew, obviously.
Obviously, yeah. Sex machines.
Yeah. Definitely.
.com
/GameVault.
Yeah.
Basically, he finishes up by saying, tell the guys to keep up the good work. And he's
really. Keep up the good work.
To keep up the good work. He's put Penny Paul, aka Milbro.
Do you remember he called him Melbro, yeah?
That's
so
right.
He's actually put his name as Penny, as in Penny Pasta.
All right.
Oh, now I get it. Yeah. Sorry, man, I've been a bit...
Nice one, nice one.
Okay, right.
What have you got, Mac?
Another man we got. Eight, do you remember the Chinese guy? He wasn't actually Chinese at all. He was Canadian,
from Canada, yeah.
But he was living in
Canada. Blame Canada. Yeah,
Canada.
blame Canada. We did. So yep, he sent us a horrendously long email, which I'll read some of.
Which is why I gave it to you.
It's not horrendous.
It's an A4 page. You read it on A4 page, it'd be the show. But you know, he says ni hao. I'm Darren Griffith, the Canadian listener living in Beijing. Well, imagine my surprise to hear you mention my name in the last episode. I was very shocked. And it's quite the honour, thank you. if you say so, dude. No problem at all. Yeah, he says, I love the show. It's the right combination of seriousness and crazy humour for me.
That's what we want.
Hooray!
Hey.
I thought it was the right combination of crazy humour and humour that's crazy, but there you go. I learn a lot about what other Linux types are thinking, and that's important, which it is. You know, the absolute best bit in my miles, he installed Downspool Linux. Which is dead cool, actually, if you haven't seen
it.
Downspoollinux.org, an entire working Linux distribution which configures itself like Knoppix in 50 megabytes, so it fits on a business card.
That is damn small.
That is damn small, and it is Linux.
Does that
and therefore it is
damn small Linux.
.org.
I'm taking it that would fit on a USB pen.
USB.
USB.
It would fit on a USB pen.
Excellent.
He installed Downspool Linux, fired up XMMS, and pressed play just straight away.
Fantastic.
And he said to him, I guess the designer of Downspool Linux, whose name's John, I think, had set it to connect to a streamed Linux radio show. I can't remember the exact name, but it was the Over Budget show that recently went off the air. The one that always had Eric Raymond calling in as a guest. So we'd just like to say, the Linux show, thank you and good night. Yeah. We're still here. The world's
what,
premier
though,
Linux radio
it's
show.
An interesting point there about damn small Linux actually playing MP3 straight out of the box.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the big distros just are not doing that now.
So well, yeah, but that's because the damn small Linux guy just doesn't give a shit.
Because he's so damn small. Do you think he's as small as Matt?
He might be.
Damn tiny Linux.
He's the damn small Linux guy.
He's like Pixie Linux.
Maybe Matt is the damn small Linux guy.
He might be.
His name's John, I'm sure it is. He says, anyway, when I wasn't using Downspool Linux at a later time, I tried searching for that show and ended up finding Lug Radio.
Yay!
Again,
because we are the premier
open source radio show. We need to be in a
space. Sorry about that, the Linux texture. We love you and everything.
But yeah, we're better than you are.
Yeah. It's as simple as that, really.
Sorry, that was a bit mean, wasn't it? But I'd love to be in a position where someone types Linux show into Google and they find us rather than the Linux show.
Yeah. Talking of the Linux Tech show, by the way, they're getting into the Ubuntu vibe.
Nice.
Yeah, I listened to their latest show and they're...
Well done, the Linux Tech show.
Only problem is sometimes they call it Ubuntu. So,
no, it's Ubuntu.
Listen, guys, Ubuntu.
Why do they call it Ubuntu?
Other than that, brilliant. Good to see that you're getting with the Ubuntu
Ubuntu
vibe.
Oh, how happy now we can be.
Ubuntu.
In the Congo.
I was wondering how long the Congo reference was going to take.
I was gutted that we didn't ask Mark Shuttleworth why, you know, whether he drinks it in the Congo. But the Congo's not
he takes it in the Congo.
Darren Griffith does here go on to say he's a bit of a free BSD user.
We're not all
so
perfect.
His style is pretty command line oriented because, you know, proper GUI stuff doesn't well on FreeBSD, does it?
Real men don't point and click, you know.
But when I bought a new desktop last month, I decided to give myself room to try out Ubuntu. I mean, you guys have raved on and on about it. You're right, it's a kick-ass system, nicely done, and much more integrated than I can imagine coming from FVWM2. So kudos to you guys for pimping Ubuntu at me, dare I say. Nice marketing job. Something's gone off you. Darren Griffith. But excellent.
Thank you, Darren.
He says, the Mark Shuttleworth interview was great. Keep up the good work. And I appreciate your attempts at speaking Chinese. It was
Ni
fun.
Hao.
Thanks again. Thanks very much, Darren Griffith.
Darren, I've got one.
Well, I've got one and all.
Just thought that
mine's bigger than both of yours.
No, well, yeah, it is actually. This is quite a small one. This is from James Pryor. Who finished?
Wasn't he the comedian, the one who was in Sino? <Evil?
laughs> Colin Pryor, wasn't it?
Richard Pryor.
That's Richard Pryor. Yeah, yeah.
Muppets.
He says some thoughts to Lug Radio staff. I have been listening to Lug Radio since season
staff.
1, 4th episode. He's hardcore.
Nice. Cool.
He's a hardcore faithful. Yeah. Nice one. He said, I love it, and you have a regular listener from Long Island, New York.
Woo!
Get in, Long Island. It's too bad.
Is it actually a Long Island?
I don't know. He's probably a small. He's probably like the Isle of Man where you can just jump onto it.
It's got a rope bridge going to it.
Let's just stay clear of the Isle of Man.
For both.
So,
Long Island, man. That's impressive.
It is. It's called, yeah, China.
This bloke's in Beijing.
Yeah.
He's Canadian, so he kills two birds with one stone.
So, anyway.
So, these birds. Perhaps.
Anyway, he says, it's too bad I am across the ocean as I would like to meet you guys. We'd like to meet you too.
The ideal opportunity would be Lug Radio Live.
Yep.
Exactly. Get on a plane. Come and meet us.
Come to Lug Radio Live.
Who knows?
Everyone fucking expects us to fly to Comdex. You should come to see Lug Radio Live.
He continues. He says, I would like to hear continued discussion on marketing, since it appears everyone has a wide and varied opinions on it. Marketing also appears to have ties into advocacy, and more dialogue on this would be cool. The marketing thing seems to have kicked off a lot of discussion, particularly as people seem to see, you know, Matt's obviously got a slightly different view to the way we see things.
Yeah.
It's been good to sort of see it on the forums and whatnot.
It has provoked a lot of talk on the forums, which, and it's a shame Matt's not really here to talk about it.
It is a shame, because obviously it's his passion, so...
We'll come back to it.
We'll come back to marketing.
For the lousy marketing special, damn it.
Don't worry, there will be more marketing talk.
He finishes, he asked me a few things afterwards that's related to advocacy, but basically he says, is there no love for KDE?
None whatsoever.
Fuck a bunch of KDEs.
He says, you guys
signed it to room 404 in the last series and they let that be an end to it.
He says, you guys love GNOME. I really like KDE and tend to avoid GNOME. I didn't install Ubuntu Warty, and I admit that it's well polished. I'm a big supporter of Knoppix that is KDE based, and I've written a how-to at, he provides the link, so that people can make their own customised Knoppix CD. Thanks for the email, James. We really appreciate that, and everybody else who's got in touch with us.
Talking about desktops, by the way, very quickly, what do we think of XFCE?
Not really interested in it.
It's too...
It's quite lightweight, is the whole idea of it.
It's lightweight as a desktop environment, but that's because it doesn't do a lot as a desktop environment. It's the way I feel about it. It tries to not have the resource-hungry nature of GNOME or KDE, but still be as integrated and...
Are you reading that off of a piece of marketing?
It manages to not be as resource hungry as GNOME or KDE by not doing as much integration.
Where are you reading that?
And it's ideal for the enterprise.
So, talking about emails, by the way, we should mention the forums.
Yes.
Keep posting to the forums.
Forums.lugradio.org.
There was an interesting post from Mr. Ben, by the way.
Yes.
And he brought up the fact that we don't actually use open source software to record the show with.
We don't.
No, we do not.
Now, he recommended something called the Wired Project.
Can I provide the reasons why we don't
In a
use
minute,
it?
In a minute. But,
just to defend ourselves.
The Wired Project. We'll put the link in the show notes. Mr. Langridge will do that, will he?
Yep.
Yeah, excellent.
Langridge.
Yep.
I actually downloaded the Wired Project last night.
Yes.
And it's all source, so you have to compile it, obviously. And you need about five or six other things as well, which are all source.
Yeah.
And I thought, it's just never going to work. So there's a very small, like maybe two paragraph install file that says, compile this. Make sure you put these flags in, minus, minus, else, and all the rest of it. Next, compile this bit, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, to cut a long story short, it compiled and it ran first time.
Right.
This is on Fedora.
Right.
There is only one operating system, remember. It's the core three.
You seem to be pimping Ubuntu earlier on, rather largely. You seem to switch your views, bald machine.
I will try other things, which I think is the difference between us. Although, you know the pact.
Python. We're trying Fedora.
Yes. Yes, we are, okay. Aren't we?
Yeah,
it compiled, it looks Fedora. As good as the screenshots. Have you seen the screenshots, by the way?
It does look very nice.
It did compile.
Hang on, we talk about Fedora, the Wired Project.
Wired Project.
Right, okay. No, I haven't I haven't seen the screenshot.
You know you've lost a bit of beardage, but...
Shut up.
Your chin fell
off. Armish bastard. Anyway, so it compiles, looks great. First impressions, because I did only compile all this last night. First impressions were, you can load WAV files into it. Interestingly, you can't load MP3s in yet, or save out as MP3. It's a bit of a shame. That is actually a question that he's answered in his FAQ, and he says that he will be supporting it. It is only on version 0.11.
Well, there's
so I was amazed it even ran at all, and it looks very, very good.
There's a few reasons why.
So, John, would you like to explain?
Yes.
Yeah, I know you're champing at the bit to explain.
No, Jono's now
explain yourself, young
man. Jono's now going to speak some bullshit about this. Yeah. Prepare yourself for an avalanche.
Angle bracket bullshit. Close angle bracket.
Quite finished.
Prepare yourself.
Oh no, we could go on for hours.
Okay. Well, I use Cubase SX to do Lug Radio, and this is obviously running on Windows. The reason for this is quite simple. Right, first of all...
Because you're two-faced.
No. First of all...
Truth hurts.
Cut both, to the quick.
You're both a pair of bastards.
I know why, because you're a hypocrite.
That's right, yeah. I'm a hypocrite and I love Windows and I hate Linux. And I think all open source people are
lovely. Whoa, boy.
No, I've never really liked open source.
Yeah, I thought Matt wasn't here.
Yeah, welcome to WAG Radio.
Shouldn't feed the troll, should I?
No. Anyway, the reason why I use Cubase is simply because there isn't anything on Linux that I've found that provides
the
tools that I need to edit LUG Radio to the capability it is at the moment. Right?
Wired Project.
Wired won't do it. I can guarantee you that I've tried lots of other bits of open source software to do the kind of thing that we're doing in LUG Radio and to do my general recordings anyway.
I accept that there's nothing out there at the minute, but the Wired Project does look very good.
I'm not denying the fact that I can edit sound clips, that's not a problem. But
what are the alternatives? You've got Resound, you've got Audacity, they're both pretty shit.
The thing is, it's not just me editing bits of LUG Radio. Like, we record segments and then I fit them together. It's not just that. It's being able to control volume, it's being able to load in sound clips, it's being able to mix and master, and it's being able to add things such as compression, so we all sound relatively equal.
The Wired Project does look like you can add stuff in, like mix index and stuff like that.
But the main crux, right? If someone could produce something that basically was a relatively simple audio editor, and Wired looks like the kind of thing. Wired looks really great,
but it supports
Cubase plugins. Then I'll switch straight away.
I mean,
why didn't Ladspa take off? Sorry, we should explain a bit about the plugins thing.
VST plugin, there's a series of software plugins that you can load
in. Is that an open standard, VST?
VST is...
I take it they want people to write plugins, so there must be somewhere written how to write.
As far as I'm aware, it's an open standard, but Steinberg, who make Cubase and created the VST architecture, they basically are a bit cagey about licensing their technology for use in open source software.
Right.
Which is why, if you speak to some of the guys such as the... there's another free open source.
Let's get them on the program. Let's grill them.
Yeah, I think it'd be quite interesting. Because the thing is, there's another big open source multi-track thing. I always forget the title of it. It begins with an A.
Octomed.
No.
Fucking Octomed. How old are you? Bloody Nora. I haven't seen that for years.
Not Octomed, no.
I loved Octomed. It was fun.
Octomed is good, man.
No, it's... Aurora.
Aurora.
Borealis.
The Aurora team, I think it was the Aurora team, said to me...
Isn't that a nipple?
No, it's not.
It's an aureole.
Oh, right.
No.
I'm a nipple.
It's right, not a cookie either. No, it's... it's basically...
Joke for our Americans.
There we go, an Oreo. But the guy said to me, you know, we can support the VST plugins, that's not a problem. Uh-huh. The problem is the licensing. Right? So if there was a way around...
Hang on, why would you have to license it in order to allow VST plugins to plug into your software?
Because you need to support the VST API.
Yeah, but you can't copyright an API.
Reverse engineer it.
I don't know the specifics. All I know is the fact that they won't use the VST plugin architecture in open source software. And while that happens, I'm afraid... I've tried some Ladspa stuff, but the sound quality just isn't comparable to the VST stuff that
Mr. Ben did kind of hint about the delay and stuff like that you get on Linux Sound. And
yeah. The thing is, I think the guys who are working on... Linux is certainly useful as an open source... as an open source multi-tracking system. There's no doubt about that. But there's issues such as, like, you've got to know a lot more about it as well. You've got to know about applying, like, low latency kernel patches and things such as that to make sure that everything hooks in really well. And one thing I posted in a message on the forums is that, personally, when I'm writing music, I don't like it. I don't want to know about technology. Technology, my interest stops with computers when I'm thinking about Linux and open source. When I'm making music, don't know anything about the latest guitars, the latest amps, whatever. I just want to play music. So therefore, I don't want to fuck around with my PC when I'm recording stuff.
Is this what things like Dynabolic are for?
I mean,
presumably the Dynabolic, for those who don't know, is it's a Canopic's derivative, which is designed for dealing with music stuff. Presumably, the kernel they'd have in there would be patched with the low latency patches already and so on.
Do you remember we met two Dynabolic blokes at the expo down in London?
Was one of them called Greg?
Thinnest bloke in the world and the fastest bloke man ever.
I mean, so was the fat man stealing all the thin man's food?
But I don't know. Right? He was on two chairs.
I'd have asked him.
And I'm not kidding. Right? I mean, he was a fantastic guy. They were both Italian, I think.
They were absolutely cool blokes. They were the coolest
really,
blokes you could imagine.
Really cool guys.
But the bigger bloke...
They looked like the number 10 when they stood next to him.
One guy, like the thinner bloke...
The number 100.
Cinnabon looked like Ronnie Size, didn't he? He must have kind of like going. But the big bloke, he told us this mad story about how he was a singer in a band or something, and some.
Then he ate the rest of the band.
They were playing this gig, and the guy was on stage singing, and then this other bloke jumped on the stage from the audience and laid on the floor, and this fat bloke went forward, pulled down his trousers, and passed wind in his face. The guy farted in his face, and we were like, "How the hell can you do that?" And the bloke was really proud of himself.
Well, he's a fat bloke. Surely he left a lot of wind.
Oh, I expect he had mighty wind. Look at him. But
so just hope his arse isn't as sweaty as yours.
No. So that's why.
This is a long answer.
John has a hypocritical shithead.
I think it's basically the answer.
I think I've got legitimate reasons. What do we need? We need to talk about the pub quiz before we tie everything up.
Yeah. We've had one team put forward. Yeah. So it's a start. But
we need more.
Yeah, bring them on.
We like the pub quiz idea, so get in touch. Get your teams together.
Yep. Look, Radio Live, that's going to happen as well.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah, we are approaching being able to talk about a date, and we've got a couple of potential speakers lined up, and we've got a couple of cool things
It'll
coming
probably
out.
Happen before the paintball, to be honest.
Yes.
Yeah. But
paintball's gone on the back burner a little bit.
Yeah, but Lug Radio Live's going to be wicked.
One point about both Lug Radio Live and the pub quiz, more specifically the pub quiz, although we're British, and although... a lot of people who listen to us are British. This isn't just open to the British people. So
maybe we could get the Linux Link Tech Show guys to put forward a team.
Yeah. Yeah. We can do this over the phone.
Come on, Dan.
Yeah,
Allen.
I mean, we just rang Jeff Waugh. He's in Australia. You can't be any further away from us and still be on Earth.
So, get in touch with this show at lugradio.org, visit the website lugradio.org, visit the forums,
forums.lugradio.org.
Get involved with the clan gaming at clan.lugradio.org. They're not racist, they're just the clan of people who meet together.
KuKluxClan.lugradio.org.
Thanks very much for everyone. As usual, you're all a great bunch of people and we enjoy doing this.
You sound like you've met them all.
I've met some of them. And we look forward to having the Angry Matt back next week.
Yes, hopefully the bearded one will be back.
So, thank you very much.
Bye, everyone. Again.